tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right? Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Having learned life lessons the hard way, Chuck Gallagher, international speaker and author, cuts through the noise to share truth through transparency. Nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. So tune in, turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Now, here's your host, Chuck Gallagher.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. This is Chuck Gallagher, and it is so much fun to be able to join you each week. You know, each week we look at something, a particular topic, something that is really going to impact your life. And I remember as a kid, sitting around, and I'm 57 years old. You probably can tell that by a little bit of the gray hair there for those of you that are seeing this on YouTube. But I remember as a kid, Mama said a couple of things to me. One, she said, you know, make sure you get a good education. She said, you can be somebody. And as I got a little older, into the teenage years going into college, I remember one of my uncles, he was probably the most successful folk of the family. He says, son, he says, with what you've got, you need to go get yours. You know, you need to be a go-getter. This is a big world out there, and there's no reason why you can't achieve success. And gosh, I listened to my uncle and I thought, dude, he is such a successful person, and I would like to emulate him. And I'm not saying that in his generation, with the concept that he was reared in and where he came from, that it was bad advice. But it's different advice than what we see today. And I guess it goes back to a comment that most everyone quotes, which is from Zig Ziglar. If you help enough people get what they want, you'll get what you want. And it's almost as if, at least from what I see, that my kids' generation, I guess the millennials, that younger generation, and perhaps the generation behind them, sees things different than this old baby boomer here. And I'm really thrilled today to be able to have as a guest on the show, Bob Berg. Bob is a masterful speaker, well sought out, speaks to leadership and sales conferences from people from 50 folks in an audience to 16,000. He has shared with notables, including today's thought leaders, broadcast personalities, Olympic athletes, political leaders, including a former president of the United States. And he's authored a book that is absolutely one of the bestsellers. And from the time it came on the market, has hit the New York Times bestselling list and stayed there, which is an amazing thing, called The Go-Giver. And Bob, I want to say first, it's great to have you on the show today. Thank you for taking the time. And, you know, let's spend a little bit of time talking about kind of how did you get this concept of the go-giver, and give us a little feel for you and how that all kind of came about.
Well, thank you, Chuck. I had a book that was out for many years called Endless Referrals, which was a book really on teaching salespeople, entrepreneurs, people who loved what they did. They understood the value they provided others through their product or service, but they maybe didn't embrace the sales aspect of what they were doing. And I kind of showed them how to, in a fun way, in a non-threatening way to themselves or others, to be able to go out there and create relationships with people that resulted in what I call a know, like, and trust relationship. Right. And, you know, it was very successful as a book over the course of years. And in about 2003, 2004, I kind of had the idea that I'd like to take the basic premise of that book, which is really that if you focus on providing value to others, you're going to create those great relationships. It's going to result in sales. It's going to result in referrals. And so I came up with the title, The Go-Giver. Go-Giver really meaning giving value to everyone whose lives you touch. And as I began to, I knew I wanted it to be a business parable because I'd always loved business parables, reading them from the time I first read Og Mandino's Greatest Salesman in the World to The Richest Man in Babylon by Klassen to, in the early 80s, I think it was, Blanchard and Johnson's 1 Minute series. And
right.
So many of them that have come along that have just been great reads, short and powerful and valuable. And the stories connect with people. And I thought I'd love to do that with endless referrals in that kind of situation. So I began to write The Go-Giver, and it took me all of about a minute to understand that there's a huge difference between writing a how-to book, which Endless Referrals was, and right. writing a business parable or fable, which is a work of fiction, essentially, even though there were things in there that many things in there that were real and that happened, it was still a work of fiction. So I had been submitting articles and writing for a magazine for a couple of years, and the managing editor there was John David Mann, who is brilliant. I knew he was a great writer. He was a fantastic editor, but I also knew he was the man behind a couple of stories that had come out in his industry, and people kind of in the know knew how brilliant he was. And I thought I would love him to be the actual lead storyteller and lead writer for this, because I knew he could just work magic with it. And with me, it wasn't going to be, it's not that writing a parable was outside my comfort zone. That's fine. But as John Maxwell would say, it was outside my strength zone. It wasn't
okay.
That right. So John fortunately said yes. And we worked on it together and wrote it. And that's really how it came about.
That's fascinating. And listen, I've got to say this to you before we get too far into The Go-Giver. Your book, Endless Referrals, you know, has touched a lot of people. Years back from, gee whiz, the early 1993 until 2008, outside of some of the work that I was doing in speaking, I also happened to work a large sales team in different places across the country. And one of the requirements, I picked up, I think, 20 or 25 copies of Endless Referrals. And in one of the training classes, it was required reading.
Wow.
And it was really fascinating to watch what happened. Now, as you know, in sales organizations, you're going to lose some people because they just have a fear of prospecting and creating that business. But for the people that were truly suited as salespeople, Endless Referrals really did make a difference. And so I need to thank you for that. I've never had the opportunity to do that, but your book helped enrich my life a bit with the overrides on that, and I'm deeply thankful. So it's kind of it's kind of cool to be able to have you on the show. So I started off by making this comment about what my uncle told me, you know, go get them, and go giving seems to contradict traditional wisdom. So was that intentional?
Well, the title contradicts traditional wisdom in that it's not intuitive to, you know, for a book to be titled The Go-Giver, because it does kind of run opposite on the surface, but it's really not opposite. And here's the reason. See, I believe that the advice your uncle gave you was excellent advice. We've just got to really understand what it means to be a go-getter. See, a go-giver is someone who focuses on creating value for others. They are other-focused as opposed to I-focused or me-focused, okay? A go-getter is someone who takes action. That's what being a go-getter is. You've got to be a go-getter. I mean, you know, you're a business person, certainly, and everybody listening, watching, we're all business people. We know you can have the best ideas, greatest thoughts, terrific intention, but unless action's put into the mix, nothing's going to happen. So I say to people, be a go-getter and a go-giver, but don't be a go-taker. That would be the opposite of a go-giver, a go-taker, because a go-taker is that person who kind of feels entitled, if you will, to take without having added value to the other person. And they tend to be the most frustrated people because they rarely achieve the level of success they feel they deserve. And even those times when they do achieve some success, and they do sometimes, it tends to be short-lived because it hasn't been built on a foundation, on a proper foundation. So when we say go giver, we're simply talking about that person who has learned, or perhaps intuitively knew, that shifting one's focus, and that's the key, shifting one's focus from getting to giving, meaning constantly and consistently providing value to others, that's the person who accomplishes the most. But definitely, like as your uncle said, be a go-getter too, because you can't just think about it, you've got to do it.
You know, Bob, I think that's brilliant. And we're coming up on a break here in just a second. But one of the things that strikes me, I talk from an ethics perspective about what I refer to as the unethical continuum. And probably one of the first steps is it in the best interest of the customer that you're providing your service, or is it in your best interest? And so many times I find that, and I don't mean this is not a bash to salespeople, because I've certainly been in that.
I am so. But absolutely.
That's right. Absolutely. But if the issue is what can I get, what can I get, what can I get, versus how can I truly meet your needs? Because you know, and I know, I'll gladly do business with people who want to meet my needs. But if it's all about their sale and their motivation, then that creates a big disconnect. This is Chuck Gallagher. It's Straight Talk Radio. My guest is Bob Berg. He is the author of The Go-Giver, and we've been talking a bit about the inception of that book. We're going to get into it a little bit more deeply right after the break. Stick with us. We're back on Straight Talk Radio. This is Chuck Gallagher, and my guest is Bob Berg. He is the co-author of a great book called The Go-Giver. And during the break, Bob and I were talking. He said the book is just about to hit 500,000 copies. Bob, there are precious few people who have written books that have had a book that hit 500,000 copies. So you obviously know that this book has hit a nerve, has done something that inspires people to find value. So I guess, in a way, this is nice guys finish first.
To a degree, but it's more than that, though, Chuck, because you and I certainly both know that, and you know, again, I would say everyone listening, everyone watching, we all know plenty of people who we would describe as being simply nice people, who yeah. we would also have to describe as being simply broke people. So, you know, I think being nice, and let's say in this case, let's use that interchangeably with kind. Sometimes someone can be act nice, but not be very kind. But let's say the two are the same in this case. It's very helpful to be nice, kind, because let's face it, most people would rather do business with, be in relationship with someone who's nice rather than nasty. And it's just nice for its own sake to be nice. However, in and of itself, I don't think that's enough. Success is also a matter of doing the correct things in the success process that allows a person to be successful and finish first, if you will. And the five laws that John and I are sharing in the book are really meant to just provide those principles that if someone will follow them and act upon them, and it's going to be all five, not one, two, three, or even four of them, but all five of them together in conjunction, they can't help but being successful.
Okay, so it's a couple of things. Number one, it is about going and getting, because that's action.
Taking action.
And it's also the application of the five laws. So I've got two questions relative to the five laws. Number one, we need to talk about them. But outside of it, where did the idea, where did the synthesis of these five laws come from?
Well, John and I have both studied success. And, you know, we've been entrepreneurs and we've done things that didn't work and things that did work and so forth. And so when we got together for the writing of this, we compared a lot of notes from our lives. And, you know, there are certain things that people have done that has made success predictable. Other things they've done that are sort of, you know, might work sometimes, don't work other times. And so what we wanted to do is put those principles that have worked in market-based economies for, you know, for as long as people have willingly bought, sold, and traded with each other. So what are those things that if someone will do them, just principle-based, universal law, they have to work, not for any way out there reasons, but because it's practical. This is what works. This is what you can measure this, you know, pretty much against what anyone has done who is very, very successful, and it will hold true.
Okay. So of the five laws, The first law you have is the law of value. So explain the law of value.
Sure. And this is the foundational one. It's sort of the one upon which the others are built. And the law of value says your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment. Now, when you first hear this, it's very counterintuitive. It's kind of counterproductive sounding, because how do you give more in value than you take in payment and survive in your business? How do you make a profit, never mind thrive, right? Give more in value than I take in payment. So we simply have to understand the difference between price and value. Price is a dollar amount. It's a dollar figure. It's finite. It is what it is. Value, on the other hand, is the relative worth or desirability of a thing to the end user or beholder. In other words, what is it about this thing, this product, service, concept, opportunity, idea, that brings such worth or value to someone that they'll willingly, again, it's got to be willingly, free market, willingly exchange their money for this value? Example would be that you hire an accountant to do your taxes, and the person charges you $1,000. That's his fee or his price, $1,000. But what value does he provide in exchange for this? Well, through his diligence, hard work, years of experience, through his willingness to get to know you and what you do, what you're looking to accomplish, he's able to save you $5,000 in taxes. He saves you countless hours of time, freeing you up to do the things you're more qualified to do, can do more productively, or would rather do. He also provides you with the security and peace of mind of knowing it was done correctly. So we can see here, first of all, that while price is finite, value is both concrete in terms of the money saved, but also conceptual in terms of the peace of mind, which holds more value probably than the money itself. So he gave you well over $5,000 in use value in exchange for a $1,000 price. And so what happened is he gave you more in value than he took in payment. You feel great. And he made a very healthy profit, which he should. And this happened because, again, we go back to the focus being on bringing value to you, which is why we say that money is simply an echo of value. It's the thunder to value's lightning.
See, I love that statement. It's the thunder to value's lightning. And I do think it's interesting when you look at the law of value as that foundational value. The fact of the matter is, if I'm able, or you're able, we both happen to be in the speaking business, if we're able to give our customers value beyond just the fee, and I don't know, in New Orleans, Louisiana, they call it lagniappe, just a little bit more. If we're able to do that, the likelihood is, because of that value, they will then reciprocate by either referring us or using us again, which creates the success that we're looking for.
Right. Exactly.
Now, the number two law, the law of compensation.
Mm-hmm. Well, this would be simply that your income is determined by how many people you serve and how well you serve them. This takes up from where you just said about being referred to more people. See, where law number one says to give more in value than you take in payment, law number two tells us that the more people whose lives we add this kind of exceptional value to, the more money with which we'll be rewarded. Our accountant in the first example did a great job of giving you more in value that he took in payment. So the chances are you're happy with him. You would do business with him again. You'd refer him to others. His other clients probably feel the same way. So our accountant is very quickly amassing what we call an army of personal walking ambassadors. And as he continues to add that kind of exceptional value to the lives of more and more people, his income will continue to grow and grow, which is why in the story, Nicole Martin, the CEO, tells Joe, the protege, law number one represents your potential income, but it's not enough to just add value, provide value to one person. Law number two represents your actual income. It's how many people's lives you impact.
You know, it's interesting, Bob, the how many lives you impact, which is, of course, it's brilliant and it would make sense for you. because that really is pulling back into endless referrals.
Right.
Because the fact of the matter is, if I am in fact providing value and people like the work that I'm doing for them, they will naturally want to share that because, you know, most of us like to think we're pretty smart. And if we come across somebody that's really done a good job, we want to share that information. It just makes us look better.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Now, before, I know we're going to come up on a break here in a minute, but before we do that, so let's talk about then the third law, the law of influence.
Well, this one says your influence is determined by how abundantly you place other people's interests first. Again, counterintuitive. Perhaps it sounds counterproductive at best, Pollyanna-ish at worst. And yet, think about it, and certainly you've consulted for so many great leaders and influencers, all the great ones, the great influencers, the great leaders, top influencers, the hugely successful and profitable salespeople, this is simply how they run their lives and conduct their businesses. They're always looking for ways to not only just provide value to others, but to make their win about the other person's win. And yet there's nothing when we say place other people's interests first, there's nothing that's self-sacrificial about it. There's nothing that makes you a doormat. There's nothing that you're not supposed to be a martyr. Not at all. It's simply that, again, going back to what we referenced earlier, and as Joe, the protege, learned in the story, all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust. Well, Chuck, there's no faster, more powerful, or more effective way to elicit those feelings toward you in others than by stepping outside yourself and focusing on making them winners.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things I have to say, back in 2006, when I initially joined NSA, one of the things, Bob, that I found was some of the greats were very easy to talk to, number one, and number two, absolutely willing to give of their time to help this young new guy coming on board trying to figure out how to make things work. And I sit back and I look at them, and they're the greats, but they're following this, the law of value, the law of compensation, the law of influence. So I love the book. And we're coming up on a break. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. My guest is Bob Berg. He is the co-author of The Go-Getter, or The Go-Giver. I'm thinking of The Go-Getter from what my uncle said. The Go-Giver, which is one of the many books that Bob has written. His newest is Adversaries into Allies, and I highly suggest you take a look at that. And I've already said, endless referrals did change my income because the people that work for me actually could follow the practical aspects of it. Stick with us. We'll be right back with Straight Talk Radio. And we're back from our break. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. And my guest is Bob Berg. Bob is an international speaker. He has a thought leader. He has influenced many, many people. One of the first books that I became introduced to him through was his book called Endless Referrals, which made a dramatic impact in a sales team that I was working. We had a $40 million nut to crack, so to speak. And when people started connecting with those ideas, if nothing else, it made the process a bit easier, and the referrals it came in ways that we had not seen prior to that. But we've been talking with Bob as the co-author of The Go-Giver. And in that last segment, we were talking about the five laws of stratospheric success, and we made it through three. So the fourth law is the law, the law of influence. We got that one. The law of authenticity. I apologize.
The law of authenticity simply says the most valuable gift you have to offer is yourself. In the story, Deborah Davenport, one of the mentors, shared a very important lesson she had learned early in her career, and that is that all the skills in the world, the sales skills, technical skills, people skills, as important as they are, and they are all very, very important, they're also all for naught if you don't come at it from your true, authentic core. Now, when you do, when you, as I like to say, show up as yourself day after day, week after week, month after month, people feel very comfortable with you. People feel good about you. People know you, like you, trust you. They want to be around you. They connect with you. And so it almost begs the question, why don't people show up authentically?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, we might think, well, because people want to, you know, cheat or lie or this or that. And of course, it's a big world. So there's always people of all types and we have to watch for that. But I don't think that's usually the case. I think 99 times out of 100, I think, Chuck, the reason people don't always show up authentically is they don't have the self-confidence and the real understanding of the real value that they bring.
Right.
And it's difficult to show up authentically when you don't believe you have anything worth showing up authentically about.
Right.
And so I believe it's very important for people to, whether it's through formal coaching or informal mentorship or, you know, what have you, to really understand the value you bring. Now, I believe as human beings, we all have two types of value. One is intrinsic value. In other words, just from being born, just by being here, we bring value to the table. We also have what I call market value. And market value is simply those strengths, traits, characteristics, talents that you bring to the marketplace that allow you to add value to others in such a way that you will be financially compensated.
Right.
Now, we all, different people, bring their own assets of value. It might be one is just a very good listener. You know, they have a knack for, another might have a true knack for of emotional intelligence. They might have a huge amount of empathy that helps people feel very comfortable with them in the process. Some people have a gift of numbers. Some people have a gift for connecting other people. Different people bring different gifts, but it's difficult to really understand and appreciate our own gifts sometimes. Why? Because we're human beings. We're too emotionally involved with ourselves to understand what we really, well, let's put it this way. And I know you mentor many people. And you know, I've certainly been in conversation with people who've told me what they were doing. And I said, wow, that's terrific. That's great. And they said, oh, no, everybody knows that stuff or everybody can do that stuff. And they weren't being falsely modest. They really didn't. They didn't realize how special it was because they've always done it. Or it's something they worked hard at doing and they got good at, but now it's just part of them. And so sometimes, you know, as human beings, we need someone to be able to tell us, no, this is what you do. This is what you bring that's so great. This is how you provide value to others. This is a strength of yours. And when people start understanding their strengths and they understand the value they bring, it's a lot easier for them to show up authentically.
You know, Bob, that's so true. I don't know if you've ever saw the movie Ray, but, you know, it was about Ray Charles.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Oh, it's a great movie. Great movie.
I never saw that.
But in the movie, the character playing Ray Charles in the early formative years was sitting down at the piano and some guy in a recording studio said, well, tell me what you can do. Show me what you can do. And he said, well, I can do. And he would name some other musician and emulate them. And I can do this. And he emulated it. And finally, the guy said, just be Ray.
Mm-hmm.
And when Ray sat down and got frustrated because he kept trying to be everybody but himself and then just played something that was him, it was like, now that's the authentic Ray and that we can sell. And of course, the rest became history.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say to people listening on the radio and Bob, I want to say this on the front end. I don't know how involved you are with mentoring and coaching. So I'm going to say that. I don't know. But I will say this, it is such a powerful experience to have someone help you see past the trees that you're in because you're living your life and really recognize, wait a minute, here's the talents you're bringing to the table. Let's maximize those because you are right. Once you can be your authentic self with confidence, then the rest of it starts falling into place.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, picking up on something you were talking about with Ray Charles, it and him wanting to not necessarily be others, but play their music. And I often say that we can and we should learn from all people. The sages of old asked, who is a wise person? And they answered, that person who learns from all others. The key is to learn from everyone, learn from all others, adapt their wisdom, but don't adopt them. Don't adopt right. their personalities. You know, I can learn from Chuck Gallagher. I can learn from Dondi Scumaci. I can learn from Zig Ziglar, but I can't be Chuck Gallagher. I can't right. be Dondi Scumaci. I can't be Zig Ziglar. I can imitate Zig Ziglar. I do a great job because I listen to his tapes and CDs. I don't know how many times I can actually do an imitation, but I would never go on stage and actually try to be Zig Ziglar. It would not work. There's only one Zig. I can only be the best Bob Berg that I can right. be. And that's what we always need to do. So I say, adapt, don't adopt. Right. Learn from everyone, but stay true to your authentic core.
Okay, so the last of the five laws. We've talked about the law of value and the law of compensation and the law of influence and the law of authenticity. The last is the law of receptivity. Explain yeah. that.
Well, the law of receptivity says the key to effective giving is to stay open to receiving. Late in the story, the main mentor, Pindar, asks Joe, the protege, to breathe out and hold that breath to the count of 30. And I've often done that with my live audiences, and I try it every time too. And I say, you know, let's start now, and you know, raise your hand when you're out of breath, and you know, go and breathe out. And usually it's like 5 or 6 seconds. Mine definitely goes up 5 or 6 seconds. Everybody else's goes up about 7 or 8, 10. Some are pretty good. They hold it to 15, 16, a few. But you know what? Eventually the hands go up. Because you can't just breathe out. But even if you were a trained swimmer and could hold your breath for 3 minutes, or you know, breathe out for you've got to breathe in. Right. In other words, as Joe understood, you can't just breathe out. You've also got to breathe in. As human beings, we breathe out, but we also breathe in. We breathe out carbon dioxide. We breathe in oxygen. We breathe out, which is giving. We breathe in, which is receiving. Giving and receiving, contrary to what so many people believe in today's day, where we're constantly through media and through others and through this and through that, we're taught these horrible messages of lack regarding money and regarding, it's such a shame. And so people think that giving and receiving are two totally opposite concepts. In reality, giving and receiving are simply two sides of the very same coin, and they work in tandem. The question is not am I a giver or a receiver? It's I am a giver of value. I am a giver and a receiver. The key is where your focus is. Your focus, as you mentioned earlier, needs to be on the other person, bringing value, giving value to them. But assuming you've given value, you've given value to many, you've put their interests first, you've done it authentically, you have earned the right, not the entitlement, but the right to receive. But you've got to allow it. You've got to allow it for it to happen.
You know, it's interesting, Bob. There's two things that really jumped at me, and I know we're going to be pushing a break here in a minute, but you've got to allow it to receive it. And some folks don't believe they're worth it. They're just the self-esteem, the self-worth, the self-value is so convoluted that the idea of receiving is incomprehensible in some cases. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of fascinating to me because I'll have people call me. We talk about choices and consequences, and they'll say, well, I've had this terrible experience in life, and how do I find my second chance? And it's really interesting because there's two sides to that, just like you said. Number one, I need to be willing to give something of value and believe I've got something of value to give. And if I have something of value to give and am willing to do that, I also have to believe I am worth receiving something that takes me to that other level. So your book not only deals to me with issues of business and sales, but it really impacts a person on a deep personal level if they'll take the time to read it, because success goes beyond business. Success is the impact that we have on other people's lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the law of receptivity is the one that people will write and say that they, you know, that's the one that made the biggest difference because they've had challenges with receiving. Well, we all have. Most of us have. Not all, but most of us have. Look, at, you know, there are so many messages that we receive day in and day out that are lack, that it goes into the unconscious and it goes into the subconscious. So it's unconscious that we're even thinking that. And we know that when the conscious is in battle with the subconscious, the subconscious wins.
Subconscious wins.
Exactly. So we've got to be able to retrain our brain. And in a sense, the law of value in the story has helped people do that. But there are also books I suggest for people who really have, if they understand that they have a deep-seated issue with self-worth and money, there are books I suggest they read that will help them break through. And maybe after the break, I can name a couple of those books that will help people.
That would be great. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. My guest is Bob Berg. He is the co-author of The Go-Giver. It is an outstanding book, and we'll be back right after this break. And this is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. We have been talking with Bob Berg. Bob is the author of, I don't know, 10, 11 books or so. Some of them, Endless Referrals. The Go-Giver, he is co-author of. Go-Givers Sell More. It's Not About You. And his newest book, Adversaries into Allies. And Bob, I am looking forward to reading that book. You have brought to the table in your life a lot of wisdom that can really be transformative to people if they're just willing to take a little bit of time and read and think and apply the the laws and the principles that you teach. But you know, in the last segment, we talked a little bit right at the end about some folks who just, it's hard for them to connect to the idea that what they're bringing to the table is worth it. It's a self-worth type issue. And you mentioned that if there are some deep-seated issues there, there are some books that you would recommend. Let's talk about that for just a minute.
Okay. Well, one book I highly recommend was written in 1960 by Dr. Maxwell Maltz. It's called Psycho-Cybernetics. And it's a fancy sounding title, but don't let that throw you. It's written very much in layperson's term. It's just psycho, mind, cybernetics, body, mind, body, and the connection that we have. But basically, he talks about how the subconscious has been fed information. It's a matter of, you know, it's really upbringing, environment, schooling, news media, television, you know, what have you, all the experiences we have. And we have certain beliefs about the way the world is. And we have certain beliefs about money and certain beliefs about the way we are and what we deserve and what the correct relationships are like and so forth. And he shows where we can really know something consciously, but if it's contradicted by our subconscious, that's going to steer us to what we really on a deep-seated level believe. So he shows us how to understand that and how to then reprogram our thoughts. It's a brilliant, brilliant book, Psycho-Cybernetics by Dr. Maxwell Maltz. A friend of mine, Randy Gage, is probably one of the leading thought leaders, if you will, on prosperity. And here's a guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and here's a guy who came from the most lack consciousness that you can imagine and really just learned what it was about, how to do it, and he applied it. He has a great blog at randygage.com, but he also has some booklets that he has on prosperity that are really wonderful. And then there's a book I actually just recently read. It's by David Nagel, N-E-A-G-L-E. It's called The Millions Within. And he did an absolutely brilliant job in this book of explaining the unconscious and how it works and how to really reprogram yourself for success. And I think at David Nagle, NEAGLE.com, and scroll down and it will show you how to buy the book. I would really recommend it. But I, you know, and I read Randy's blog every day. Why? Because we need to choose what messages come in. In fact, anything I get my hands on regarding prosperity, I read, because there's enough negative out there. So let's screen ourselves. That doesn't mean bury our heads in the sand. Not at all. But what's to say that all the negative, horrible stuff you hear is realistic? Not necessarily. And so let's choose to the degree that we can what we upload into our minds.
You know, Bob, I absolutely agree with that. In fact, Randy, I consider a good friend, and I love the stuff that he does. I know that Catherine Ponder, The Dynamic Laws of Prosperity, was probably one of those initial books for him that was a life changer. And it is fascinating for anybody that's listening to this show. One of the things that we try to do here on Straight Talk Radio is bring you a positive message that's going to help you improve your life, as opposed to sitting around with naysayers. And good golly, fear must really sell. That's the only thing that I can gather, because there's plenty of that out there that people feed into. And it's like, why? It doesn't have to exist.
No. It's a human.
It is a human thing. That's true. Now,
Bob Proctor, by the way, also has some fantastic books and teaching programs on prosperity. And I know Bob Proctor has mentored many, many people who have done just so very well. And again, his whole boom outlook is so prosperity focused.
You know, Bobby, it's kind of interesting, and I'm curious to see your comments on this, because there are a lot of people out there that will say, well, you know, this prosperity kind of hocus pocus isn't really real. I mean, it's The Secret. It's people saying, imagine it and it will happen, and so forth. But yet, the reality is, people who have a prosperity mindset tend to be prosperous. So it's hard to kind of, you know, I don't see how people don't see that.
Right. Well, here's the thing. It's because they will look at something like The Secret and they'll say, well, they're focused so much on the thinking because thoughts are, well, all that's true. What wasn't necessarily, unfortunately, included in there was that you also have to go out and get it. You have to be a go-getter as well as a go-giver, as well as a great thinker, as well as a pot, right? And so that kind of wasn't, so it appeared to many people as though it was, you know, some magical thing. And anyone who really studies prosperity understands there's nothing magical about it. It's actually very logical. You know, we need to see. To me, I loved The Secret. Why? Because my assumption was you still have to work at it. You still have to go out and take action. You've still got to, right? The book, The Science of Getting Rich, written in 1910 by Wallace D. Wattles. I've probably read that book 40 times. One of the best books ever, and it's an easy read. But he says, through thought, things are brought to you. Through action, you get it. You're right. You know, so in other words, thought starts to put through action, you get it. But again, there's nothing magical about it. But as you're thinking these things, and as you're believing these things, and as you're, what's happening is you're creating the environment for it to happen. It's not magic. It's not hocus pocus. And like you said, there's a reason that people who tend to think very positively and think very abundantly are the ones with abundance. It's very hard to be abundant when you're thinking in lack.
That's absolutely true. You know, if you think you don't deserve it, what you think you will attract. So if you think you don't deserve it, you probably don't, or it won't come to you.
Right. And you'll do things to make it happen unconsciously, and then it will be a self-fulfilling prophecy. See, I knew that, right?
Right. Now, look, in the few short minutes that we have left, I really want to talk just a moment or two about your new book, Adversaries into Allies, and talk a little bit about where people can find it. But tell us a little bit about that. It's kind of a teaser.
Well, it's really about mastering a specific skill, one that has just proven itself over and over again to be the difference maker in terms of success. And that's people skills. And the people, those who've mastered people skills, have, it's been the difference between those who've been, had great technical skills maybe, but have had either average success or even a legitimate amount of success, but have never been able to just crack that nut wide open. Those people who have people skills, who can go into any situation and can work with people in such a way that they can get the results they want and help everyone to feel genuinely good about themselves, about the situation, about you. These are the people who make huge things happen. These are the people who've attained humongous levels of success through five very simple principles in the book. I take people on a step-by-step journey, mostly through short stories, some of them half a page, some 3 pages, and help them work through the situations that we all go through when it comes with to dealing with those difficult other people and how to just take potential enemies and turn them into friends.
You know, turning enemies into friends, go giving and go getting. My guest has been Bob Berg. Bob, it's such a wonderful opportunity to have you on the show. If you want to know more about Bob, go to berg.com, B-U-R-G.com. That is as easy as it gets. He has a wonderful report that you can get. You can sign up for it on the website. His books are featured there. And certainly, if you're interested in Bob coming to speak to your organization and work with your organization, it can be transformative. Bob, thank you for taking the time. The Go Giver is an awesome book, and I am so thrilled that that it's hitting that 500,000 mark. That's just awesome.
Thank you so much. So great to be on your show. Thank you for all you do.
Well, it's my pleasure. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. And remember, every choice you make in life has a consequence. So let's make those choices that are empowering and move us toward success. Again, this is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. Join us next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Tune in each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as Chuck Gallagher, international speaker and author, cuts through the noise to share truth through transparency. Nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher.